Hare Krishna, everyone. I welcome you all in this monthly program of Chetna. Today it is 29th of January, and it's my honor to host this program today. So before we start with the Chetna lecture, I would like to welcome Surbhi Mataji, and we will have a wonderful kirtan held by her. So Surbhi Mataji, please lead the kirtan. Hare Krishna Mataji. So please lead the kirtan. Hari Bol Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for this wonderful kirtan. Haribol. Yes. So now I request the kirtan is done, and now we will move forward for the lecture, which is the most interesting part of the program. And today's lecture will be held by by Arjuna Gopi Mataji, and she is a She's also, her material name is Anita Ramchandram. She is a doctor by profession and has done her MD in clinical microbiology from KEM Hospital. She also has a fellowship in international medical education and research. She is currently working as a faculty associate professor at the Lokmanya Tilak Municipal Medical College, Sion. She is also a guide for students pursuing their MD in clinical microbiology. She has worked in the field of HIV control in Mumbai for about 15 years. Her father has been a life member of ISKCON since 1983. So, she has been regularly visiting ISKCON Juhu since her childhood. However, she personally took shelter of the movement and the process of chanting in 1997. She, along with her husband, His Grace Ram Govind Prabhu, serve as counselor at the temple congregation. She has a great taste for connecting with the youth and inspiring them on the path of real progress. Now I request Arjun Gopi Mataji to take on the lead and start with the lecture, wonderful lecture. So please welcome Mataji. Hari Bol.
Thank you, Mataji. And thank you very much. Thank you, Jila, for the introduction. Can we begin? So, Bill, audible? Okay. So, yeah, let's start with the invocation prayers. Om Agyanti Marandasya Glandinarapaya Chakshurum Vena Smai Shri Gurave Namaha Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Bhutale Shmade Tivanta Swami Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Duravani Pracharike
Hari Bol, I think so there is some connection issue from Mataji's end. So we will wait for a few minutes for her to join.
Welcome everyone. The beginning of the year, January. So our topic for the day is booster shots. Nowadays, everyone is seeing a booster shot. So let's see what booster shots are and how they're important for us. So basically, we're going to speak about the science of booster shots, the science of habit, the science of habits. So, some people have very strange habits, and even the ourselves have habits. So, just to give you some examples, we have the habit of anything that I look at. Say, such a big century, they'll say, the bathroom has to be. Then someone else may ask, bathroom is more big.
Yeah, there is some connection issue. Please pardon for that. Mataji will join us again. We are really sorry for this network issue. So, in the meanwhile, if anybody have any questions, just in the starting I'm asking, so that anything related to your spiritual life or anything related to Krishna, if anybody wants to ask, please go ahead and write anything in the comments. Still, meanwhile, Mataji is coming.
Hello. Am I audible, Ujwal Lila?
Yes, Mataji, you are audible, but there is some network issue. So, in between, you are lost. The network is lost.
Oh, is it? I am to the folder. We will have to connect to
your. You're again not audible, Mataji, and the screen is blurred. So can you just check for the network?
I'll just connect.
Yes, Mataji. Please connect to a better network. Yes, Mataji, we are waiting. Okay, till Mataji is joining, if anyone have any questions or would like to, tell anything.
Haribol, yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, Mataji, we can hear. Is it clear?
Yes, okay.
Yes, it is much, much better, Mataji. Yes, this is much
better.
So,
do I start from the start? Or I continue?
Yes, Mataji. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
You need to start it again because the topic was not clear.
The prayers also, should I start again, the prayers?
If possible, because we couldn't hear that as well.
Yes. Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. We'll start with the invocation prayers. Om Agyanti Marandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktarunda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Dear friends, welcome again to one more Chetna festival. This is the beginning of the year. Our topic for today is booster shots. Everyone around is speaking about booster shots, so inquisitive about it, taking them. Let's see what relevance booster shots has in our life and how do we go about it. So we are going to basically speak about the science of doing a bit or habits. So, you see, many of us have very strange habits. You know, sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes very strange. Like, just to give you examples, say some people have the habit of undermining everything what others do. So, like, if you say... Now, have you seen that Kohli has struck a wonderful century? And they'll say, haan, but itni koi baat nahi bani. Then someone will say, Bahubali dekhi, bahut achhi hai. Then they may say, theek hai, but baat nahi bani. You ask them, अच्छा बात बनना मतलब क्या होता है? दिल से पता नहीं बट बात बननी चाहिए. एंड वन फाइन डे द मदर इज मेकिंग सम पकौड़ा एट होम एंड द सिबलिंग्स एंड द पर्सन इज ईटिंग एंड देन सिबलिंग्स आर डिस्कसिंग पकौड़े तो बहुत बेहतर है, बहुत बहुत अच्छे है, बढ़िया है. एंड दिस चाइल्ड विल से हाँ पर वो नुक्कड़ वाले की तरह नहीं है, बात नहीं बनी. एंड देन आउट कम्स अ स्लैप ऑन हिज चीक्स फ्रॉम द मदर एंड देन द रेस्ट ऑफ द चिल्ड्रन विल आस्क सो अभी बात बनी. Then some other examples we can see, like some people have habit of asking very stupid questions, like suppose like this person on the flight to Delhi and then he is asking the person on the next seat, "Acha, Delhi ja rahe ho?" And the other person will be so annoyed. He's like, "Nahi nahi, वैसे flight Delhi जा रही है, लेकिन मैं तो बीच में जयपुर आ जाएगा तो कूद जाऊंगा." और suppose you go to visit some person in the hospital lying sick and, you know, being given an IV. And then this person asks, "Acha, bimar ho gaye?" That person may say, "Nahi, nahi, wo actually muh se khane, khate khate bore ho gaya tha. Toh abhi maine socha thoda glucose lagwa lu." or someone else in the colony moving around with a pet dog and the person is asking, "Acha, toh tumne paltu kutta rakh liya?" And the person will reply, "Nahi ji, main to ek ghoda rakha tha, wo chota hi reh gaya." So we see people have a lot of strange habits. Let's see what are booster shots. So basically, when we have so many diseases around, so what happens is if you want to protect yourself from the illness, from illness which are caused by various microorganisms, in childhood, you are given a small, minute quantity of that bacteria or virus in your body through an injection. And then the body makes some soldiers to fight against that bacteria or virus. And then what happens is as your body starts making more and more soldiers, your body becomes fit to fight the infection. So next time, even if you get the actual infection, these soldiers are already there, ready. Positioned, and they'll take care of the invader or the enemy. Now, a part of this science of vaccines is that apart from creating soldiers which are ready to attack whenever required, there are also some memory cells in the sense that they are prone, they are programmed. So when the next infection happens, we don't have to go through the same process of making the soldiers. They will prime the other cells and in turn, prime them to make antibodies or make more and more enemies directly. Okay. Now, what happens is over the course of time, like you have seen, even with respect to the COVID illness, first they said, okay, well, the vaccine has come out. You need to take a shot. And then they said the next dose has to be taken after 3 months. Then they reduced it to 4 weeks. And then now they are saying that we need to take booster shots. So what happens is the immune system of the body, it has made the memory cells, but sometimes these memory cells, they are going into their phase of decline or they are about to die. And in that case, you have to re-inject the body with a new dose of minute amount of that foreign invader or the bacteria or the virus, so that your body is primed again to make more and more antibodies or fighter soldiers. Okay, so this is the concept of booster, that, you know, when your memory cells keep dying, or when there are no more memory cells, or when the body system has probably sometimes lost its immunity due to some other illness, then you need those soldiers to be made, but the memory cells are not there, or the body doesn't have so many programs as a backup. So the body will need a re-entry of that invader, and your body is sort of now primed to make the antibodies more and more. Like on our borders with the other countries, you see that we don't mount an attack with the enemy when they attack. Already our soldiers are positioned on various borders, so that if there's any notorious activity from the other side, they will mount an appropriate response. So that's about boosters. That's about how a vaccine works, and that's about how booster doses, they sort of re-solidify the concept of making antibodies, making soldiers ready, and we can fight the invaders very well. Similarly, most of us have habits from birth. Our parents have given us very wonderful habits, and we live with them, we have cultivated them, and now they have become effortless part of our behavior. But then as we grow up into our teens, into our young age, when we are being influenced by so many factors from outside, what happens is we somehow lose touch with those good habits, right? Like example, we may be taught that we have to worship, give respect to our elders. We may be have been taught that when the guests come, we have to be polite. Or we may have been taught that during in the morning, as soon as you get up and take a bath, take darshan of the deities or the deities' photos at your home. So we do it till our childhood, but then over a period of time, due to external influences, we may lose those good habits. Or worse is, we may develop new bad habits. Now, habits, once they become ingrained, they're very difficult to wash off. But if you see, bad habits, they tend to stay with us, and good habits somehow tend to get washed off. So let's see why we need to know about habits. We'll see what is the processes in the brain that are going on to develop these habits. And we'll also see how to develop good habits and how to get rid of bad habits. So there was a research done in Southern. Now, yeah, let me ask you with a small question. Like, do you ever realize that you have gone to your office without brushing your teeth? No, it doesn't happen, right? Because we are primed that as soon as we get up, we brush our teeth, become fresh, and then put on new clothes, have a breakfast, and go to work. But sometimes it happens that you're late, getting late, so you have brushed your teeth, you are falling short of time, but you don't want to skip your breakfast, so you skip your bath. And then gradually it becomes a habit that you are not going to you're going to the office without taking a bath. Why? Because without brushing your teeth, you will smell bad from the mouth. But without taking a bath, you can still apply some perfumes or deodorants and, still look fresh and put some makeup on the face and you look the same. So gradually this not taking a bath can become a habit. But that brushing teeth will not forget. Now, so this study was done in Southern California, where it showed that 40 to 45% of our daily activities are actually habits. So in the day, throughout the day, whatever activities we do, almost half of them are habits which we have been doing throughout our life and have been cultivating, so that we perform them without even thinking what we are doing. It's just a natural process. In the earlier years, maybe say around 15 years back, when we would get up from the bed, what we would do, like when I was a kid or many of you who were children that time, get up, go to the washroom, brush your teeth. Nowadays, what do we do? Get up, put your mobile phone on and see what are the WhatsApp messages, what are the Facebook updates. Yeah, so that's a change in behavior. Now, in the beginning of the year, right, most of us make resolutions. Resolutions for what? That we may change some habits, we will get into some good habits. But most of these resolutions, if you see, they fade off by the end of Jan or beginning of Feb. We are in the end of Jan now. I hope many resolutions that you have taken, each one of you, you are continuing. But if you are not able to, then maybe this small lecture will help us on trying to solidify those good habits. So even in a study which was done in US, it was seen that patients who suffer from heart attacks, and they were told at discharge that you need to regularly exercise, have a control on your diet, and then you will probably not fall prey to the heart attack again. But then over a period of time, it was seen that only 14%, which is a very, very small percentage, 14% of these people continued with their good habits of exercise, regulated diet, etc. And the rest majority, they just gave it away. Now, is it that the people didn't understand the importance of good habits to control their cardiac disease? No, it's not that. Like, even when we give up some good habits, it's not that, like, in the instance which we spoke of, when we start going to the office without taking a bath, it's not that we don't want to take a bath, but we have fallen into the routine, maybe some added stressors, like maybe someone is sick at home, maybe we have a new commitment which has come up at work. So due to all these factors, this habit slightly fades away. Now, when will the habit continue? Only if that habit is effortless. Now, example, suppose when you are riding a bicycle, you remember when you started with riding a bicycle, first you have to so much concentrate on, pedaling, then you have to concentrate on not losing your balance, and then you have to concentrate on what is your focus. Mane, you have to look ahead and not, sway away from your direction. And then later, as you do it regularly, it becomes so much of a part of your habit that you can drive effortlessly, right? Suppose you're now your parents or your elder relatives, if they think that, I need to make a nice retirement plan. So for that, what I'll do is I'll buy a monthly lottery, and one fine day the lottery will click. That day I'll put my resignation and I'll live happily ever after. How much chance is there that the lottery will, he'll win the lottery and his retirement plan will be successful? But compared with the other person who will say, let me put some of my important savings, some of my hard-earned savings into some system where maybe some mutual funds or something, where the money keeps growing at a compounded rate of interest. And then even with this person not working after retirement, he will continue to reap the benefits of the money saved and the compound interest on that, right? So that means he is not doing any efforts, but still the money is growing. Versus the other person who's putting some effort in taking the lottery ticket but not doing anything substantially. So we have to make the process work. The habits have to become so effortless, so much a part of our nature that we don't have to think a lot while performing them. It just automatically happens. It's compared to like when you have a new equipment, say your mobile phone or some Bluetooth speaker, right? You want to read the manual fully, right? So that you know each and every detail of how to use it, how to take care of it. Suppose you just go to the quick start guide. That will not help you because it may start, but then when it breaks down, you won't know. You won't know the precautions you need to take to prevent it from going into a breakdown. So like that, if we have to be in the control of our lives, you have to engineer your habits so that you are able to reach where you plan to go. Like that retirement plan, you don't make a random random shortcut method, but you take the proper planning. You do the proper planning so that you succeed and you are where you want to be. Now, let's see our daily routines in something a different way. Like we spoke about daily routines of getting up, brushing our teeth, taking a bath. These daily routines, they have some important functions. Like they will restrict our choices. That means after getting up, I know that I have only to go to the washroom. There's no other choice. It enables me to do the perform the action. Okay, so it restricts the choices, enables me to perform actions. Also, it gives stability to that part of my life. That early half an hour of the morning, it gives me stability to that half an hour block of time, right? And it also helps me to change. We'll see how it helps us to change. So we don't have to look at habits as just monotonous or robotic acts. We need to rethink our routines. Like, suppose I have planned some things to be done till the end of this day. Okay, I jot it down on a piece of paper. And then at the end of the day, I see that of 10 things, 8 have been done and 2 have not been done. So I push those 2 things for the next day. Okay. Next day again, at the end of the day, I see the last 2 things, two things pending from the earlier day, as well as some 2 to 3 things of this day are still pending. Now, like that, if you go on accumulating, by the end of the week, you will have so many activities which have not been performed. right? Similarly, imagine you have planned your life to be moving in a certain direction. You have some goals and aims in life, and you have not completed that day-by-day tasks. Where will your life be, right? At the end of the day, it's easy to say it's just two activities which have been left behind. But at the end of a week, it will be a big chunk of activities. Similarly, imagine at the end of your life, you wanted to reach, say, if you just put it in terms of numbers, suppose you wanted to reach 100 kilometers away or 100 kilometers higher, you have reached just 60 or 70 kilometers, right? So we need to form habits which help us to reach where we are, where we want to be, okay? Now, suppose, imagine, there's this great poet, right, who has a great poem, a masterpiece in his mind, but he has never executed it, and he just dies with it, right? Or a great revolutionary person who has revolutionary thoughts in his mind, but never put them to action. And the person has left. What use is that idea for, you know? So there's also a concept where it says that whatever ideas one has in brain for the good of the society, for the good of self, we should try to put them into practice so that at the end of the life, we have something of value that you have done for the society. You have contributed to the society. Now, so habits shape who we are, and they also shape what we will become in the future. Therefore, we need to cultivate good habits to make us reach where we want to go. Now, so how we spend each day of our life is also how we spend our entire life, actually. So each day, how we spend it, that will shape up how we spend our entire life. And it will also give meaning to our life. It will help us to achieve the purpose of our life. This great philosopher and scientist, Aristotle, he made a very wonderful statement. He said, we are what we repeatedly do. Okay, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, he says, is not an action, but a habit. Okay, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not just an action, but a habit. That means what we do, we achieve. What we do repeatedly, we will excel at that. So just reiterating, habit is an automated, repeated behavior which we do in a current environment repeatedly, and which we are not even consciously aware of. It just goes on in the background of our brain without us actually putting effort into it. Now, when I joined this, I'm giving you a real life example from when I joined the hospital to work as faculty at the medical college. I had decided that, irrespective of whether someone wishes me or not, I will wish them. So I would wish most of the times. I would say hello to the good morning to the seniors, hello to my friends, and to my junior students or junior colleagues or the class co-workers, I would say namaste, like that. But then many times it also depended on my mood. If I'm in a good mood, I'll wish them. If I'm not, then I will just sort of forget, or I will not wish them. Then just doing this regularly has been ingrained as so much of a good habit that now when I am walking into the campus, sometimes I'm, busy speaking to someone on the phone. Sometimes I'm busy thinking of something which I have read in the morning, or incident which has happened, good incident which has happened. And then I come across some person, and without realizing, either I show respect with my bowing of my head, or I just raise my hand. So it's become very unconscious. It's become a automatic behavior for me. Just because I want to respect them, even if I'm busy or thinking, I see that my hand is automatically raised. And then I realize, I'm trying to give respect to that person without even, without knowing it and thinking about something else in my mind. Now, each habit, we have to look at it as a block of time. We said, right, just when we do our morning rituals, that half an hour. So see each habit as a block of time. And the various habits that you do throughout the day, they will future or they will shape or they will form a nice orchestra of good events throughout the day, which will make your day successful. Now, let's see some of the signs, some of the activities in the brain which are happening when we are trying to form a habit. Like we saw the example of trying to learn a bicycle, right? So initially, as I said, we find it very difficult. We have to coordinate we have to keep pedaling. We have to remember that, don't have to lose our balance, that we are going ahead and not, you know, haywire, right or left. We are just going straight. But later, when you become perfect at it, when you it becomes a habit, we see that we can ride our bicycle even while speaking to someone on the phone, while listening to music. And you must have seen the young boys, they will be performing stunts while riding the bicycle. They will probably drive without their hands on the handles, or they can look backwards and still go ahead. Yeah, so that is, it has become a part of their nature. Now, what happens really in the brain is, this scientist called Claude, he defined three aspects of a habit. He said there is the cue or the
Madhaji, your network is lost again.
Yes, miss.
Haribo. So, Mataji will connect again.
There is.
Just hold on.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Yes,
there was an incoming call. Yeah. Okay. So, so we were speaking about this loop, habit loop that Claude explained. He says there is for every habit, there's a cue, there's a behavior that you do in response to that cue, and then there's a reward. So, example, let's see this experiment which
Mataji, your network is lost again.
Is it good now?
No, Mataji, it is little blur. If you can still get a better
Roji, network. Can you call Ruta's mother that I'm busy, so she should not call me? The network is...
Mataji, mute yourself.
Okay.
Is your network fine now?
Okay, so can you hear me now?
I can hear you, Mataji.
Okay. Yeah. Just give me a minute.
There is some network issue. Mataji will connect us in few minutes. She's just checking her network.
Yes, ma'am.
So in the meanwhile, I'll just check on for the questions. If anybody have any questions, please drop it in the comment, because till now Mataji has spoken a lot about habits and how she has connected the booster shot with the habits. So if there are any questions related to it, please do drop any comments there, write something, cite any questions there. Till the time she is getting connected. In the meanwhile,
Am I back?
Yes, Mataji, you are back. Yes, yes.
Okay,
we can hear you, but actually there is some, there's a break in between. So just check on your network properly.
I've seen to it that it doesn't repeat. Yeah, thank
all
you.
All right, Mataji. Yeah.
I've seen to it that Mataji. It doesn't become a habit. Prabhuji.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot see any comments. So if anyone of you have any comments, please drop so that, you know, after the lecture, Mataji can answer those questions. And whatever Mataji said till now was about how booster shots is getting connected to our habit effortlessly. So every day when we are doing anything, that is actually a part of our habit until we are not consciously aware about it. So we need to understand that which habit is helping us to grow and which habit is not helping us. So here in this lecture, Mataji is helping us to understand that what type of habit we should have, and we should work on it. Yeah, so Mataji is here again, and she will again continue with it. Yes, Mataji, your network is fine now?
Yeah, I think my network went into a habit of disconnecting again and again. ensuring that it doesn't fall into that trap again.
All right.
So,
over to you, Mataji. Please continue.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Lila.
Yes, Mataji.
Okay.
My pleasure.
So, we were speaking of this experiment which this scientist called Pavlov did. He put a rat into a iron cage, and then there were some buttons in the cage, right? And then this rat was not really bothered about the buttons until one fine day it realized that when it presses one of those buttons, there were 3 to 4 buttons, until it realized that when it presses one of the buttons, there's a piece of bread which is dropped into the cage. So this rat becomes very excited, happy to see that piece of bread. And then whenever it's hungry, it's like pressing that particular button, and it gets the bread, and its hunger is satisfied. Now, after some time, what the scientist did was he changed the button. He changed the wiring in such a way that whenever the rat pressed the button, it would get the bread, but it would also get a small electric shock. So after this, whenever the rat pressed that button, definitely it got the bread piece, but it was getting that minor shock. But then, because it was getting the reward, it was not so much bothered. I mean, the electric shock was not bothering it, and it continued to do on like that. Now, so here, suppose hunger is the cue. Like we were explaining that the habit loop is a triad of 3 things. Okay, there's this cue which forces you to act in a certain behavior, and then there's a reward at the end of it, and then this continues. Cue, habit, reward. Habit, reward forms a loop. So in this case, suppose the hunger for the rat was a cue, the pressing of the button was a behavior, and the piece of bread dropping into the cage was the reward. Now, as we said, even if it was getting an electric current, it still continued with the habit of pressing the button because it was getting the reward anyway. Now, when we get into some habit, okay, that is, we associate a cue with a behavior and then we get a reward. What happens is, after 2 weeks of that habit, okay, I'll give you some examples of this cue, behavior and reward later. So what happens is there are some minor small connections which are being formed in the brain. These are called as neuronal connections. So the neurons, they form new connections with the brain, and these are formed at the end of 2 weeks. But if you continue to do this new habit for around 8 to 10 weeks, what happens is these neuronal connections start growing stronger and stronger. Earlier they were just sort of thin wired like connections. They become stronger, stronger, thicker, thicker. And then they start getting enveloped by a layer of fat that's called as a myelin sheath. So now it's like there are no loose wires. They are, you know, covered with a strong rubber coat, or in this case, a fat layer. So their proper neuronal connections have been formed, right? And also, as they continue to do that habit, what happens is, there's another scientific fact. You see, our brain weighs only 2% of our body. So suppose if someone is 60 kgs, the brain of that person will hardly weigh how much? 1.2 kgs? Yeah. 1.2, no, 12 kgs. Yeah. So 1.2 kg, yeah. So suppose a person is 60 kgs, just 2% of his body weight, that is 1.2 kg, is the weight of his brain or her brain. Yeah, but If we eat, say, 3,000 calories in a day, 20% of it is consumed by our brain. That means of though we weigh only 2% of the body weight, 20% of that 3,000 is consumed by our brain. That means the brain needs a lot of energy. That's why you see people, like parents tell us that before sleeping, don't think much. Don't use your brain so much. Otherwise, it will be difficult to fall off to sleep. Even people like teachers at the school are advising, or people at the office are advising, don't use your screen phones at the end of the day, because that will lead to your sleep patterns getting delayed, right? And in fact, our parents must have taught us when we were young that before going to sleep, read something nice or do some kirtan, so that those good vibrations stay with us in the brain and the brain is relaxed and we go off into a better sleep so that we can get up fresh, more fresh. So what happens is, as we go on performing these habits, they become so much part of our behavior that the brain now realizes that, okay, this is something very important to be done every day. And the energy that it spends on this activity becomes lesser and lesser. That means earlier, if it was consuming, say, X amount of energy, now, because it has realized that, it is important for the body, it will, and also because it has become an ingrained habit, the energy used by the brain will be X minus, say, A amount. It will be lesser than the actual energy needed. And now the problem with this is, the brain understands that it is important, okay, and it uses lesser amount of energy so that the important energy which was used for this activity can be diverted for something more important or more something new to be learned. So it's in one way very good. But what the problem with this is, the brain knows it's important, but the brain doesn't understand whether it is good, bad, or neutral. So say if you have a habit of exercising every day, that's good, the brain will follow it. Say you have another habit of eating junk food as a snack every evening or every morning. The brain will adapt that also, right? And it will not give you any signal with the least amount of energy consumption. It will encourage you to go for that habit. So the brain cannot distinguish what is good, what is bad or neutral. It will just help you to, it will just understand that it is important because it is being done daily and that's why I should do it. Also, with this reward that you get, that means the thing which you do, there's a special neuronal hormone called neurotransmitter called as dopamine that is released. Now, dopamine, when it is released, it gives you that high or it makes you feel very happy. Okay. Now, sometimes, so let's take an example. Suppose you are hungry. That's the cue, right? And then, what behavior you will perform? You will go to the kitchen and you know that there is this special dibba with some, say, cookies, chocolate cookies. So you go, lift that cookie, you eat it, right? So with that, when you eat it, your hunger is satisfied and also your taste buds are satisfied. So that's the reward. You know that whenever there is a hunger signal, you have to go to the kitchen, pick up that cookie and eat. So when you do this regularly, when you have eaten that cookie, apart from the satisfaction of hunger, you also get that dopamine released, okay? Or take for another example, another activity. Like, remember when in childhood, our parents used to take us to movie theaters, right? So, what did movie theaters mean for us? Popcorn. Whether we were interested in the movie or no, popcorn was the highlight. So, going to the movie theater was a cue. The behavior was that we would get a packet of popcorn from our father, right? And the reward was, as we were watching the movie and enjoying the popcorn, dopamine was being released. Okay, so far so good. Cue, behavior, and reward. Later, what happens when you keep doing it frequently is, the reward and the behavior, they become so interconnected. The reward and the cue also get so much interconnected that even though the behavior has not been performed, the cue and the reward are getting so much interconnected that the intervening step of behavior, you're not performing it, but still dopamine is being released. Example. So now when I spoke about movie theaters and popcorns, I'm sure all of us must have salivated to some extent or no, not some extent or the other. Even I am actually. Why? Because just thinking of that movie, thinking of the wonderful, crisp, hot popcorns, my mouth has started salivating because dopamine has already been released. So this is the problem, that when the habit, when the reward part gets connected to the cue, and especially if it's a bad habit, it will continue as a vicious cycle, right? And will lead to somewhere where you are not supposed to go or where you are not supposed to be. So that's a problem. Now, there's this another person called William James. He almost 100 years back, he said a very nice point. He said, make your nervous system your ally. Ally, that is a friend and not your enemy. Now, people really applauded this person for making this wonderful comment. But do you know that in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord Krishna has already told Arjuna 5,000 years ago that if you tame your mind, it's your biggest friend, and if you leave it uncontrolled, then it is your biggest enemy. What to speak of just 5,000 years back, millennia back, Krishna has spoken it to great souls, and it has been repeatedly passed through the parampara system and shared with so many, that mind is the biggest friend if controlled, and if it left uncontrolled, then it will be the biggest enemy. So on and so forth. So many teachings in Bhagavad Gita. Now, I'll give you a small story. So there was this person who was the army officer in charge of training new recruits. So when these 18 to 20 year old boys would come to join the army, he was in charge of training them. Okay, training them into using how to use the weapons, how to keep their body fit, how to survive on very meager food, right, in the worst conditions. So this interviewer asked that person, what is your experience with training these recruits? So the person says, with a lot of feelings, he said, see, many of these children who come, they have not had a very good family life. Some of them are from very poor families. Some of them didn't have a proper space to rest when they were children. Some of them didn't even get proper two meals a day. Forget three meals, even two meals a day they wouldn't get. So they are not from that regulated lifestyle. They are just doing things as and when things come. And now to make, to train them in a way that they have to be disciplined, every morning get up at this time, keep your things only here, go to this place to take your lunch or dinner, come back at this place and this is your place for sleeping. So it's a very rigorous, disciplined life. So then this interviewer asked that person, then how do you tackle this challenge? How do you train such unregulated people or unhabitual people to come to such level of discipline? And this army officer with very moist eyes, he said, I have to do that because I have just a few weeks left to train them to keep themselves protected. So what he was saying is, if I don't train them in these few weeks that I have with them, 4, 6, 8 weeks I have with them, and then if I don't train them well, when they are deployed at the border or deployed at where they are supposed to be in action, imagine if they have not been trained well, they might become, they might lose their life. So irrespective of what their past was, I have to use those 6 to 8 weeks to the best, so that I train them to keep themselves safe. Great leaders, they always follow rituals. They always follow habits. In fact, they always see that their practices become so ingrained with them that they can use less and less of their energy, brain's energy, into those activities and divert them to more useful tasks. Like example, Barack Obama, the earlier president of United States, it's known that he would wear only a certain pattern of dress, that white shirt and black pant, and he wouldn't change it. Every day it would be a white shirt and a black pant. Even his diet was very simple. Every day for meal, he would just have that one item, breakfast one item, afternoon some other item, and evening some other item. So only those three items he would eat every day in rotation. Why? Because he said, I have so many things to do. I can't be using my energy to think what dress should I wear, what should I eat today, right? So I want to save up my energy to use it for better things. So they want to make things so much a routine of their life that they can use their spare their important brain energy to divert it for more important things. Also, when we do some habits or when we are doing some activity, we have to be realizing that there is a concept called mindful attention. Mindful attention means what you are doing, you are there. It's not that you are writing something and then your mind is wandering, right? You have to be in the moment, do what you're supposed to do. So that's called as mindful attention or mindfulness. So suppose in the day, you want to see how you can get some time for a new habit. So you need to write down whatever you are doing in the day with the time slots so that then you can understand that, here I am losing some time for some unnecessary things. Here I am using it well, I can add on more time to that activity. Like that, if you write it for a week, you'll understand the patterns and then you can bring some more time to new habits which you need to cultivate. Now, it's also said that, when you want to, let's see about, cultivating habits. Yeah, we have spoken about how the brain reacts, how habits are formed, how there's a habit loop that is formed. Let's see how we actually try to make good habits. So, it's said that you have to forget big changes. You have to start tiny. Okay. Take small steps. Okay. Take small steps because by that, at least you are, it's ensured that you will keep moving rather than planning big things and then failing. Okay. I'll give you some examples. Suppose if you decide that I have to read a new book or gain some knowledge or read this subject and try to master it. Okay. So you begin with saying every evening or every morning, I'll read 5 minutes per day from that textbook or from that subject. Okay. Gradually you will increase it to 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then it will no longer be a burden something. You will do it enjoyingly. Okay. Or suppose if we say every day you have to meditate. By the way, many of the self-help gurus, they are advising people that when you want to do self-improvement, it is not just your skills or your behavior that you work on. What is also important that you connect yourself spiritually to the Supreme Lord. Okay, that's a part of many self-help coaches and many personal coaches, right? So suppose you have to, we say like at the end of the program, maybe you will be hearing the kirtan again, and suppose you take this advice of chanting every day or meditating every day. So we can say, look, just begin small, maybe 3 to 6 minutes every day, and then you can gradually increase it to 10 to 12 minutes. And then it goes on to the normal practice where it becomes habitual or where it becomes a part of your nature to do that worship or meditation regularly. So any habit to be formed generally takes 66 days. Now, this 66 days, again, it sounds too big, right? It is almost more than 2 months. So what we do is, we split it into three phases. Okay. The three phases each is around 21 to 22 days. So first phase is where you're doing that thing, but you don't like it actually. Okay. First 21 days is I don't like it, but I still do it because I want to it to become a habit. Okay. The next 21 to 22 days are, well, I can tolerate it. I mean, you are out of that I don't like it phase. You say, okay, I can tolerate it. And the last 22 days are such that you start missing it. If you don't do it on a particular day, you'll think, oh, I'm missing that habit. Okay. So similarly, if you start praying, okay, as I said, 3 to 6 minutes or 3 to 5 minutes in a day, at first you will say, oh, it's very difficult for me. But you continue to do. Why? Because you have to, you know that it is good and you need to form a habit of out of it. Now, again, 22 days may seem long, a very long time. So you can say just 3 weeks, just 21 days, 3 weeks, and you will be out of it. And once you do that, the next phase is where you say, okay, I don't really like it, but I don't really hate it also. So I'll continue doing it. And then once it comes to that phase, then you will say, oh, if I don't do it on a certain day, I'm missing it. So that's how you create a habit in small steps. Because when you walk small steps, you know that you will continue walking. And you will not leave the map or leave the road. You are sure that you will continue. Now let's take another example. Suppose someone makes a resolution that they have to lose weight. Okay. What they will say, okay, I'll do some exercises. So what we can do is, suppose I decide that I will do Surya Namaskar every day. Okay, but someone has advised me 30 Surya Namaskars every day. That is huge. I mean, it's a huge workload for me. So what I'll say is, okay, I'll do 5 Surya Namaskars per day. And I'll do it before I have put anything into my mouth. So in the morning when I get up, okay, if I'm about to sit for my breakfast, I'll do, say, 2 Surya Namaskars. Then before lunch, when I'm just about to have it, I'll do 2 Surya Namaskars. And in the evening, if I'm having some snack, again 2 Surya Namaskars. And at the end of the day, dinner, 2 Surya Namaskars. So just doing 2 Surya Namaskars before each meal, I'm covering 8 Surya Namaskars per day. Now, can you imagine the power of it? After some time, from 2, you go to 4. That makes it 16 per day. Then you go to, say, 6. That makes it 6 into 4, 24 per day. And if you go on increasing, maybe 30, 40 is not a difficult task at all, right? And then you so much start liking it. You see so much the positive impact of it on your health that you want to do it continuously. So that's why it said, forget the big change, start small, start tiny. And every time you do it, you have to reward yourself. Like suppose before having breakfast, I have done my 2 Surya Namaskars. So I'll sort of congratulate myself. Well done. You are amazing. You can do it. Now, this self-encouragement, we don't need anyone from outside to encourage us. This self-encouragement is such a boosting factor that you want to do it the next time also. Just as the lunch hour is arriving, you will be reminded, oh, the 2 Surya Namaskars. Like that, you go on and the positive effects of it are seen, are felt, and it becomes soon your habit. Okay. Now, another thing is, as I said, don't look at the final goal. Don't look at it as weight loss as the final goal. Just realize that 2 Surya Namaskars is enough for me. 2 Surya Namaskars before every meal. And what happens gradually is these tiny habits, they start taking roots, right? Just like a seed, you know. The seed, what does it need to become a full-grown tree? A proper seed, which is placed in a proper medium, a proper soil. Okay, where there's nutrients, fertilizers, and then without you coaxing it every day, you don't have to go and say, oh, beta, just grow up. I want to see your tiny leaves. No, you just leave it and it grows. So similarly, tiny habits, when you place them at the right time, right moment, yeah, they soon grow into a wonderful tree of good habits. Now, here again, one more thing what we can do is, as I said, the main important thing is tiny activities. So, and you associate it with an activity which you're already doing. Meals I'm having, just attached doing Surya Namaskars before the meal, right? So these become effortless and it's more likely that we follow them regularly and soon they become good habits. Also, at the end of it, we don't even need motivation. It acts as an automatic cycle. You don't have even to push yourself. Oh, Surya Namaskars. No, your body is self-signaling you. It is something good, please do it. And the brain is not even taking so much energy for it. It is automatically tuned to do the exercises. Or suppose someone decides that I want to lose weight by walking. Okay, then if I tell you 20 minutes brisk walk every day, it may sound too big for you because in the morning you have so much caught for time, 20 minutes is too much. But what I will do is, okay, every day I'm anyway taking the bus. So I'll walk to the bus stop briskly. Instead of walking slow, I'll take a brisk walk. And after some time, what I'll do is, instead of going to the nearest stop, I'll go to the next stop for catching the bus. Or while returning, I'll not get down at my stop, but I'll get down a stop before that and then do brisk walking. So gradually, these small steps will make the walking a part of your life, a part of your habit. And we have to add, as I said, new steps to something which is already existing, to already existing behavior. So examples, let's say, I've written down some examples. After I take my breakfast, okay, before that, before I take my breakfast, I do 2 Surya Namaskars per day. After I take my breakfast, I will tidy up one item in my room. Okay, breakfast is being done, but I'll add that small thing of tidying up one item in my room. Or after I wash my face in the morning, I will apply sunscreen. Okay. Or you can say, after I reach home, I'll hug my mother. After I reach home, I'll keep my purse in the proper place in the wardrobe, right? So, slowly, what will happen is, you will get into that habit, which becomes a normal, repetitive, automatic cycle. So, as I said, when you place a tiny behavior at the right spot, it will automatically grow. It will actually grow into a forest. In fact, you know, there's an app which will help you to get rid of bad habits. I'll tell you when we come to getting rid of bad habits. Now, let us continue on forming good habits. So, any new habit needs at least 10,000 hours of repeated performance. It may differ from task to task, depending on how complex is the activity and from person to person. But mind you, repetition has to be there. It has to be repeated. Now, let us come. Now, we have seen how to get developing good habits. That means we have to take tiny steps in a repeated way and then attach it to some already known habit. And then your body signals the reward factor and you automatically get into the mechanism of doing it routinely as a part of your habit. How to get over bad habits? No, they say it's easier to form good habits, but to get rid of bad habits, this is very, very difficult. But we'll see how we can do it. So, example. Now, why are these old habits difficult to break? Because already your neuronal connections in the brain have been formed, right? Already they have been very strong connections. And then it's very difficult to give it up, or it's difficult to break them. But the brain, there's something called as brain plasticity. Plasticity meaning the brain can adapt to changes. And when you do it routinely, even you can get rid of bad habits. So easiest way is take a break from that bad activity. Okay, suppose you are used to seeing your mobile in the night for 1 to 2 hours before you sleep. Just take a break. Better is if you can replace that bad habit with something good. Okay. Why do we need to do this? Because over time, over a period of time, these habits may go from survival tactics to survival habits to habits which will push us towards destruction. Example, suppose if you are hungry, like we took the example of the biscuit in the night or cookie in the night. You are hungry, you went to the kitchen, took a piece of cookie and you were satisfied of hunger and the dopamine rush was there. Now, over time, your brain will start saying, well, why to eat cookie only when you are hungry? You can also eat a cookie when you feel sad. And then that loop, new loop forms. Whenever you are sad, you go to the kitchen, pick up a sweet cookie, you eat. Dopamine rush is there. So what happens is now you are getting into the habit of eating without the right signal. Your emotional signal becomes the cue for eating something sweet. And then gradually you may overeat and obesity and so many other problems. So cookie is a small example. Gradually you will push it to bigger things. You think that you should reward yourself whenever you are down with a pizza, which is not very good, eating it regularly. Okay. Also, some boys, when they start smoking, even girls for that matter, just to look cool, you know, in the society, because others are smoking, even I need to look cool, you just puff a cigarette. And then this same habit, which was helping you to look cool, emotional signal, and then it will push you down to bad health, lung cancer and so many problems, mouth cancer, right? So this emotional signal, okay, which becomes the cue. And many times it leads us to bad habits and towards a very disastrous outcome. Now, so we have to be in charge of our willpower, right? And what if we, instead of fighting our brain, we say, oh, no, I don't want to do this. We take the benefit of the reward cycle, okay? So we start thinking, what if I don't do this bad habit? Okay, then we start to analyze. We say, oh, wow, if I don't do this, it will give me more time. It will help me from overeating, keep me from overeating. It will help to keep me more focused on my work. And I start to improve my strengths at work. Then when you look at the positive sides, again, the brain starts rewarding you with the positive reinforcement and it becomes easier to give up the bad habit. So I was speaking of this app okay, which is very good to for all of us who are used to using the screen at the night time. So that's called as the forest app. So what you do is you time your phone. Of course, install the app, and then you put your phone on a airplane mode. So there is no notifications, nothing, right? You are not using the phone. And so suppose you have not checked your phone for half an hour. In the app, there will be a seed which is planted, a tiny seed. It will show that a seed is planted. You don't use your phone for another 2 hours. Seed grows. A few more hours and the seed is a full grown tree. Okay. And by the end of the day, because you have not used your phone continuously for 4 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, you have more and more trees growing up. What does this show? That you can use your phone only at specified intervals, and that app is rewarding you by showing the number of trees, number of seeds which have been planted and grown up to full trees. So this is just an app which will help you. So imagine the same thing being done with our brain. When you capture over bad habits, each bad habit, when you are removing it from your life, it's like a small good seed which is growing into a big tree. Okay. So we can prevent ourselves from seeing that screen again. Now, if you really have to have a good habit, or if you want to go away from bad habits, what's the best thing? You train yourselves before you encounter that habit. Like example, on the war field, yeah, or on the borders. It's not that the army has to cross your border, you know, mount their weapons and then start firing and then you start defending yourselves. No, you have to be alert so that the army doesn't enter your border, doesn't come near your border. Similarly, you have to be in charge with good habits so that you don't allow these bad habits to percolate into your life, into your daily routine. Now, I'll just end up with this important message. Habit, when you do it regularly, when things become a part of habit, it said, you know, how do you spell habit? H-A-B-I-T, right? So when it becomes ingrained as your daily routine, suppose you have written habit on the board, H-A-B-I-T, if you try to remove the H, a bit remains. Try to remove the A, bit remains. Try to remove the B, 3 letters of 5 letters gone. Still, it remains. That means habit, when it's ingrained in your life, no matter what you do, it will stay with you. Unless you allow some overpowering influences to nullify it. So coming back to our childhood, when I said, you know, our parents ingrained us, helped us with developing small habits, small good habits. Do you remember our parents taught us that we should pray every day, that we should bow down to the Lord, we should bow down to our elders. Maybe some of us were in habit of memorizing shlokas, memorizing some songs for the Lord, abhangas in Marathi, or making offering bhoga for the Lord. Yeah. So some good habits spiritually. But this is where booster shots are required also. Because over a span of time, our memory cells have faded. We have somehow lost touch with these practices. And it's now that when we give boosters, our body will be primed again for these practices. Now, it's not a chance. It's not a mere coincidence that all of us have come into contact with someone spiritual or some spiritual practice in our lives. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that it's a very, very rare soul who has come to finally understand that I have to learn, I have to know about Krishna and take shelter of spiritual or devotional practices. So you're not just a coincidence. You are a very rare soul. Each one of you who has come in contact with the spiritual practices and is trying to improve upon them. But you may have forgotten some practices which were ingrained as a child in your body, in yourself, in your behavior by your parents. You were given the vaccines, but now we need some boosters. And how do we do that? By coming regularly in association with devotees, by attending programs at the temple, by discussing with our devotee friends, by reading from the scriptures, and the most important, by chanting, by meditation on the holy names of the Lord. Once we do these are like intervals of boosters. Like example, when the temple reopens, all of us can come to the Sunday program every week. And every week will be a booster. It will be a like a recharge. When our phones go out of charge, the cell phones, we charge it every day, right? Similarly, when we come to the temple on every Sunday, we'll be so much infused with charge, so much given a booster dose that we use it throughout the week. And at the end of the week, when you're feeling weak, low, again, you come to the temple to recharge yourself, to boost yourself, to get the booster shot, which is required so that you continue to remain in spiritual practice. So let's take one resolution in this, although January is about to end. Let's take one resolution that knowing that we are, it's not just a mere coincidence that we have come into contact with devotees or devotee principles. Let us take one resolution that we will give booster shots to ourselves whenever required at regular intervals so that we stay in charge, we stay in connect with the devotional people around so that we boost our spiritual life to reach its ultimate goal, that is loving God. Yeah, loving Krishna. Soon, I think there'll be an announcement that we have a very wonderful program coming up in the evening, just about an hour later. The most beautiful festival. I request all of you to please join for that program also. Yeah. Thank you so much for your patient hearing. And thank you very much. I also take the pledge to be taking booster shots every now and then. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for this wonderful class. And it was really, means if I say that what I learned from it was a wonderful thing, actually. So, so what I learned was that how you converted this booster dose means how you join this booster dose as a habit, and how you know, you took us to our childhood and we could just connect there, that you know, this habits were engraved means in our daily day-to-day lives, and now we have forgotten certain things, so we just need to brush it up and it is already there within us, then it's very easy to for us to you know, get into practice with these new habits. And the way you have you know, given us this you know, this tips of how we can cultivate this new habits and we can just get rid of the bad habits, it was just amazing. Means I actually wrote so many points, because even I can apply and implement these things in my life. So thank you so much, Mataji, for this wonderful lecture. You are muted, Mataji.
Yes, ma'am, I'm finding it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the kind encouragement. Thank you for the boost up.
So I would request the audience, if you have any questions, so that Mataji can answer them. Mataji, just a few minutes. We are just checking on the comments.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is one comment. I'll just read it. Which is that one habit that has helped you immensely on your life, apart from spiritual, of course. Spirituality, of course.
Okay.
So
okay.
This is a question. Yes.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, because you're asking other than spirituality, there are many, many habits for spirituality which have boosted my life. But yes, the one habit which you are asking from life, other than spiritual practices, is respecting elders, friendship with equals, and you know, love to younger ones. Because when I was a very small child, around 10 years old, I had heard this sentence that one who is very respectful to elders makes good friendship with equals and is always loving to the younger ones. They will always be viewed as a wonderful personality in the world. So I have tried to imbibe this habit from my friends, from my siblings, and I have tried to follow it as much as I can. And I have really, it has helped me to a great extent to shape you know, what I am now. Thank you.
I hope Prabhuji, your question is answered well. Mataji, I have one question for you.
Okay.
Yes. So, as you explained that to come out of the bad habit, we need to have certain practice. So, was there any moment in your life that you were stuck at a bad habit, and how difficult it was for you to come out of it, and how did you practice it, and how strongly you came over it? Means you actually did that, and you were out of that bad habit, and you rewarded yourself for that.
Okay. I am trying to work on many bad habits and have still not achieved the success. But one bad habit which I had, and I'll try to share it with you, because it really gives me a lot of hope that I can change other bad habits also. So I'm a person who's obsessed with cleaning and things being in their certain places. Like if I see the glass not at that proper place on the dining table, I mean, it's not on some other furniture, but it's on the dining table at a very different point, I'll be very disturbed. If I come home and see that the clothes are not where they are supposed to be, or even in the cupboard, they are not neatly folded and the towels are not at that place, or they are folded somewhere else, somehow else, I'll be very disturbed. But then I understood that it is taking so much of my time and energy. When you come, even as a child, you won't believe that I would come home from my, not as a child, as a youngster, when I was in a medical college, I would travel from 7 in the morning to 6 or 6:30 in the evening. That's how our schedules were at the medical college. And when I came back home, the first thing was not to just take some refreshment and rest and then, study. The first thing was, there are so many things scattered in the bedroom, just put them at the place. And then I would tell my siblings, what is this nonsense? I mean, why can't you keep things at the proper place? And then my siblings, all were younger, and they would laugh at me. They would say, you are bothered by it, so you clear up the mess. We are not bothered by it, so why should we clear? And then I realized it's taking so much of my time and energy. And as I grew up and I started to analyze and understand, now it's like, okay, suppose if I have to clear up the mess, I will keep things at a particular corner of the house and maybe even cover it so that I don't see it, but it will not bother me. Okay, it's not messy. The house is not messy, but all the things are piled at one place and I have covered it with the cloth, so it's not bothering me. Otherwise, it was so bad that even if I come back from work and I have to chant my rounds, some of which are pending, but then unless I clear the home spick and span, I will not take to my beats. But now, of course, gradually I have overcome, and then just keeping the things aside in a minute or two, and then I can chant my rounds, and later when I have time, not at the end of the day, at the end of the week, I will remove it and sort it out. Very small example, but I feel happy that I have conquered over this habit. Bad habit.
But this is actually a good habit to keep things clean and neat and organized. So this is a good habit. But yes, maybe because it is taking more of your energy, so you thought that you need to come over it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a good habit, but if you expect it from others, it's not that good. You can expect it from yourself.
Yeah.
But not from others.
Yes. So And I'm grateful that you shared these things with us. So we'll also learn. I personally will learn a lot from today's lecture, definitely. So, Mataji, I am not finding any more questions over here. So,
we should have the most important booster section, that is the Kirtan.
Yes, sure. Yes, Mataji, definitely.
The strongest.
Yeah, and again, I would thank you for this wonderful, wonderful lecture. It has enlightened me a lot, personally, I would say. So, thank you so much, Mataji, for this wonderful
class. Thank you,
everyone. Thank you. And Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Dhanvatanam. So, now, after getting to know such good inputs from Mataji, now we'll have wonderful Kirtan for 10 minutes again. So I request Surbhi Mataji to take over the lead for Kirtan again. So Surbhi Mataji has joined us. Just 2 minutes, I guess her video is getting on. Yeah. Still, if any one of you have any questions, please comment it. I think so. There is some network issue. from Surbhi Mataji's end. She will be joining us shortly.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Bol Mataji.
Am I audible?
Yes, Mataji, you are audible. But your video is not seen.
Yes.
Is there
any
issue with that? Yes, Mataji. All right. So now Mataji will take the lead for Kirtan. All right, Mataji?
Hare Krishna.
Yes. All right. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, both of you, thank you so much for this energizing kirtan. And yeah, it was actually wonderful to hear you both. Thank you so much. And yes, so we got one more comment that there, one devotee is asking that which is the app on bad habit. The app name is Forest App. And if you still are confused with it, then you can listen to the lecture again and you can see to it what Mataji has spoken about it. So I thank you everyone. I am again thanking Arjun Gopi Mataji for her lecture, wonderful lecture. I thank Shurbhi Mataji for her wonderful kirtan. And I thank all the devotees, all the audience who have been staying with us for this long time and listening to us. So thank you for joining us in this Chetna program, and we will meet you again in the next month with a different and amazing topic. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna everyone, and have a wonderful evening and a wonderful weekend. Hare Krishna.